Well, good morning and happy Sabbath on Turner Church. That was a very awkward dilemma for me with that song, because it's such a passionate song and you just want to shout as loud as you can, but I can't really shout very loud at all. And so it was a bit hard for me to jump into that song, but I absolutely love that song so much. So thank you so much for the worship team. And I just want to thank you also for the many prayers that have been showered my way as well ever since we've been here. I've got a few apologies to give you. I've been here for 2 months and you've only seen me once on stage. And so you probably won't see many pastors apologize for talking too little, but I do want to apologize just to give you a bit of an insight as to what's happening with me, so you know what is the case. This week I was given a diagnosis about what was happening with my throat. And it's called muscle tension dysphonia. And so what it basically means is that I just don't talk properly. And so we have to retrain completely how I speak. And also they're going to be doing lots of other things, maybe even some surgery. But at least it's something. And at least I have a diagnosis as to what we need to work towards. So I do want to thank you all for being a part of the process. Again, I apologize that you got an assistant pastor that was sick. I know that Yoshi last year as well had a bit of problems as well, but I know that God has a plan for every decision that is made, and I know that He has a plan for us as well at this church. So I do want to thank you. It is going to be a very quick sermon, but we'll see how we go anyway, because maybe the Holy Spirit will take over. We could go for an hour. We don't know. We'll see what happens. How about we start with a prayer, and then we'll jump straight into our sermon for today. Loving Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you so much that we can come on your holy Sabbath day and worship you. And Lord, we know that at this time there are so many things that are going on in this world. We can see the world falling apart at our very eyes just by going online or jumping on the TV. But Lord, we come here to worship you, to not let the distractions of the world take us away from what really matters, which is you. And so, Lord, I pray that today your light will be shone in this place. It is my prayer in your name. Amen. Open your Bibles to Romans 1, verse 16. This is what our Bible verse is for today. Romans 1, verses 16. You might say that this is the calling cry of all of Christians in the ancient world and also in the modern world. Romans 1, verses 16, a very simple verse. You may have heard it before, but it's very powerful. Romans 1, verses 16. And it simply says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Let me say that again: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." When you read this verse, there might be different emotions attached to what you read. But a lot of the times we give it one specific word called evangelism. How do we do evangelism in this day and age as the world is becoming so quickly changing in front of our eyes? And you would have seen in different churches, even amongst our own church and the Adventist church, different ways of trying to bring people to Christ. You may have heard that there are cafe churches now, where people actually go into cafes and just have a drink, they just eat, and they talk about God, and people just walk in. There are different types of churches, like your digital church, where if you're not aware of what's happening, but you can go online and you can digitally enter into a church and not just listening to sermons, but actually physically going in digitally and listening to a preacher online. There was even a story I heard, and this is true, that a little girl, she was about 15, 16 years old, wanted so bad for people to come to God that she would date boys to bring them into the church and when they were baptized, would go and find someone else. Now, I'm not sure whether that's good evangelism or not, but it was a true story. There are a lot of different methods as to how we want to try and bring God to people and bring people into the church. And there are a lot of questions as to how we do that. But I want to share with you a story about what we did, not in the church building, but in a business sense. See, for those who don't know me, before I was a pastor, I was a salesman at Telstra. And please don't judge me for working for Telstra. It did prepare me for pastoral ministry. And when I was working at Telstra, they had put it in our mind that we were not here to sell a product, we were here to sell an experience. What does that mean? Well, I'll give you an example. If we wanted to sell a phone wasn't just merely a phone. A phone was an experience. You weren't selling a 16, 20 megapixel camera. You were selling the experience of the best photos that you could put on social media. Who would not want to have that experience? You were not just selling a black phone. You were selling a professional phone. Something that would make you look professional. Something that would make you look esteemed. You were not selling a phone, you were selling an experience. Even when it came to Samsung products, we wouldn't just sell it based on it being Samsung. We would play on that battle that Samsung people like to have that they're not buying an Apple phone. And so we would say, hey, you're going against the establishment by buying this phone. Isn't that exciting? We were not selling a product, we were selling an experience. And for some reason, when I came into the church, I found that evangelism was very similar to what we were taught in business. And that was this. We sell the experience of coming to church rather than the main reason itself, which is what? Christ. Jesus. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to ask you a question because this quarter is all about reflection. So I want us to reflect. And I want you to be honest about this, please. Don't answer the question out loud, but answer it in your mind. This may be a bit confronting. When you talk to people about your faith, what do you talk more about? The Sabbath, the health message, or the love of Christ? I want you to think about that just for a second. How do you sell your faith? I mean, in the conversations that you have when you're at the hairdresser, or just even with your friends, do you try to convince them based on they're not on the right day of worship? Or maybe it's because you've got the best health message and you can get really fit, you can look really good, and you can be healthy at the same time because we believe that as a church. Or do you go straight for the product? You say, I go to church because I love God. I love Christ. What I found is that more often than not, including myself, Pastor Dan, I would go straight for the religion side. I would tell them about what my faith was like as an experience, and I would avoid the word Christ or love. Now, I don't know about you and whether that's your experience or not, but when we do our evangelism, sometimes we do that. And I'm not talking about an evangelism like a program where you come in and you learn about things. I'm talking about your personal evangelism when you go out and talk to your family and friends. What is your main purpose and what are you talking about to them? Are you selling the experience or are you going straight for what truly matters? Because at the heart of it, it's all about Him. That's it. That's why we come to church. It's great to have different things like meeting together, worshiping on the Sabbath, having a great health message, doing all these different things. But at the heart of all of this, if we don't tell people about the love of Christ first and foremost, then their faith will crumble very quickly once all those other things go out. Because what is left but nothing? And so what I want to do is I want to talk about three things and three benefits When we change the way that we do evangelism based on Romans 1 verse 16, because I believe that sometimes we avoid the word Jesus, love, Christ, because we are maybe slightly scared about what they will think. Maybe we're just a little bit ashamed about our gospel message, just a little bit, because what will they think about me if they reject what I truly love in Christ? But there are three things, church, that I want to be able to uplift you with. Three things that I believe that we as a church and you as an individual can really learn and grab if you start to think the way that Paul did in Romans. So number one, everyone who believes. In verse 16, you will notice that it says that for everyone who believes, the power of God is to salvation. Now, this is really important. Because when you think about evangelism, I bet you the first thing that comes into your mind is a speaker up the front doing a Daniel and Revelation seminar, or maybe doing a message. In other words, it's up to the one person, maybe the pastor, to do the evangelism. But when I read my Bible, it's actually encouraging for me because I go, yes, evangelism is not just on a broken pastor like me. It says anyone who believes is cast with this responsibility. Remember, evangelism is not a program that you run. It is the way that you think. It's what you do. It's who you are. And so if you truly love God and you believe in Him, then this will be part of your natural being of who you are. And sometimes, in fact, most times, I believe that people, normal lay people like you, do evangelism better than someone like me. I was on a train once in the Central Coast, and I was sitting down and I wanted to go from point A to point B. 2.5 hour train trip from Currumbong to the middle of Sydney. Not an experience that I enjoy. And I sat down and I thought, what am I going to do for 2.5 hours? So I did what everyone else does in a train. What do they do? Do they all talk to each other in trains? What do they usually do? Headphones on, head down, probably on their phone, reading a book. In fact, all they want to do is have their personal space. They don't want anyone in that space because they're on a train trip. And so I did exactly that. I went on the train, I put my headphones on, and I started to listen to some music and fall asleep. I woke up half an hour later, and I saw at the top of the carriage the only person who was talking to someone on their seat. It was an older lady, and what she did was she had a book, and she was giving the book to a younger lady next to her. And I wanted to see what type of book it was, and so I went closer to another empty seat just to have a look at this interaction. I was surprised. The book was entitled Hacksaw Ridge, and I thought, there's no one that will give Hacksaw Ridge books except Adventists. And so I had a closer look at this older lady. She was a lady from my church. And oh, I felt ashamed. Here was I, the pastor of a church who gets up every Sabbath and tells people how to live, how to believe, and what to do. And I'm there listening to music on my headphones, and there's this lady doing evangelism better than what I could ever do. And so guess what I did? I took my headphones off, and I found someone next to me and started talking to them because I felt guilty. I felt like I wasn't doing my part. And as I was talking to this lady, I didn't have a Hacksaw Ridge book to give her, but I said, hey, why don't you start reading the Bible maybe? We had about an hour conversation, so it didn't get straight to that point. But the point of that was that evangelism is something that is natural for you. Don't look at other people and try to do what other people are doing because God has made you a different type of person. And I've heard this before, but pastor, I don't have the spiritual gift of evangelism. Have you heard that before? I was made different. I don't have enough courage, or I don't know the Bible that well. Or maybe I just don't know what to do. I'll just stay maybe as a Sabbath school teacher, or maybe I'll just stay and help out for lunch. But you know what? Evangelism is not a program. It's who you are. And it's what you can do with the gifts that have been given to you. And so when you think about who you are and how God has made you, how did God create the person you are, and how does He want you to spread the gospel to others? And I feel like sometimes we forget our mission. And I want to maybe look at a Bible verse. I've got it on the screen so you don't have to open your Bible. But it says, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." There is not one soul on this earth who doesn't need to hear the gospel. No one in this world can survive without the gospel in their heart. And so if we start to change the way we think in our everyday lives, whether you are on the train, or whether you are in your car, or whether you walk, or whether you're surrounded by people, or whether you just have one person with you at all times, it does not matter. That person is cared for by God. And maybe God has put you in the situation you are in because He wants you to talk to that person. You don't have to try and convert them. Just be loving. And maybe when the time is right, mention about the love of Christ and how that can affect their lives. It's simple, it's scary, but at the heart of it, this book is all about Him. It's all about Jesus. Don't try to sell Him on anything else, because it's all about Christ. Number two, God can use anybody. Okay, this one here. As I said before, there are people who think that evangelism is not their gift. It's something that they can't do. But I want to show you just a few people in the Bible who probably thought the same thing. Moses. We know Moses. He was a murderer with a stammer problem. I think about him a lot and about my voice issue. I think, well, why did God put me in a profession where I have to use this 90% of the time and yet it's so hard to use it? And this guy had something very similar. But if that doesn't relate to you, what about David? David was a young, impulsive teenager. Are there any young, impulsive teenagers here? All right, Tim. I'm sorry, mate. The teens end at 30. Okay, maybe you don't relate to that. How about Paul? I know there's a lot of people who have not been Adventists all their lives. In fact, probably hated Christianity at some point. Hey, Saul, who became Paul, had exactly the same experience. All right, let's keep going. Peter, is there any tradies in the house here? Really? There's one, two. Surely there's more tradies here. I just don't want to say anything. Not all tradies are proud and loud, but Peter was definitely one of them. He was very loud. He was a fisherman. And a lot of people think that maybe the Ocker Aussie, you know, the Aussie bloke, maybe they're not comfortable in a church. I'm sorry, but even God wants you to be here as well. In fact, you guys are one of the most important people because you can do so much good. All right, Rahab and Esther. If you know the story about Rahab and Esther, both different experiences, but they both had similar personalities. They were both soft-spoken, and they were both against the culture. Maybe a lot of ladies will be able to connect with that. Nebuchadnezzar, we've been talking about him for the last 6 months. Nebuchadnezzar, a very important man, a pagan king. Sometimes God doesn't even call his own people. I remember in Jeremiah, God actually called Nebuchadnezzar my faithful servant, and he was a pagan king. And of course, even coming closer to home, Ellen White. If you don't know this, then have a look. But Ellen White was not the first person that God called for the message that she had. She was the third. Have a look at it, and you will be surprised. And so here, you have lots of people who have been called for God's message, and they weren't necessarily built for it in the standard that we see it. They maybe weren't the best talk. Maybe they had an ailment. Maybe they had a problem, but it didn't matter because God had called them to spread His word. Evangelism is in the heart, because it's all about Him. But number three, and this is probably one of the most important aspects to evangelism. Number three, you don't do the converting. Let me say that again. You don't do the converting. When you read Romans, you'll see in verse 16, where does the power come from? Where does the power come from in verse 16? It says there, let's read it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of who? Of God. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's kind of a pressure on us sometimes that when we are in those situations where we want to talk about God, maybe we think, I don't know the Bible enough, or I can't speak that well, or maybe this person isn't talking or listening. But at the end of the day, we don't do the converting. Let me show you. You've probably had experiences where you've talked to people who have been trying to sell you something on the phone, right? You see the unknown number, or you see a number that you've never seen before, and you go, it's probably a telemarketer, and 9 times out of 10 it is, right? Well, I had a burst of patience for about 10 minutes, and I said to myself, I'm going to answer this call. And lo and behold, it was a telemarketer from Telstra. And I said, okay, I've got a lot of time for you. And she tried to sell me on a new product. My phone contract had ended, and so she wanted me to give a new phone. And we had talked, and about 6 minutes into the conversation, and I had on my mind, I didn't want to convert this person to Christianity. She was a telemarketer. And she said, oh, I'm in the Philippines. So I said, oh, I'm Filipino too. Great. And she goes, oh, where are you from? Well, my mom's from this place and this place and this place. She said, oh, I'm from there too. Great. And then she asked me, hey, why did your mom come to Australia? Oh, because of this, this, and this. But she goes to church and all these different things. Natural conversation. We get to the point where I say church. And she said, what church? And I said, well, I go to this church. You probably haven't heard of it. Seventh-day Adventist. And she goes, that's really funny. Because I've been praying to God for somebody to tell me which way I should go with my faith. Can you tell me more? I said, all right. Told her about what I believed. I told her about all the different things we did. 25 minutes later, on the phone, for about 5 minutes we talked about business. The rest of the 20 minutes we talked about God with a telemarketer. And she was nervous because she knows that the calls are monitored and that if she spends too much time with a customer, she could get docked pay. And so I told her, I said, hey, we've been on the phone for a while. We haven't really talked about business. Are you okay with this? And she said, don't worry. I'm fine to not even get paid today. I just want to hear this. And so I said, look, I know that there's an Adventist church. You're in Manila. I know there's a main one just down the road. How about you go down there and check it out? And she said, thank you so much. And that was the end of the call. Now, I had no idea that God was working on this lady's life. And for a split second, I could have stopped a lot of that progress if I had just rejected the call. But I picked it up and I allowed the Holy Spirit to work. It had nothing to do with me at all. I just shared my story and the Holy Spirit worked on that girl's life. I really hope that in heaven I get to see her. And I'm not going to think it was because of me. I'm going to think it's because the Holy Spirit put me in that lady's life just for a split second to allow her to maybe get closer to her. Now, I'm not telling you by all means to pick up all telemarketer calls, okay? Because I don't want that blame to come back on me. But I want you to be aware of the little things that you do in your life that may have a huge impact on others. If only you listen, you maybe talk to them, and maybe the Holy Spirit will work on that person's life because you are not doing the converting. And so when we think about this in John, it's beautiful, beautiful Bible verse. John 16, verse 7-8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Who does the convicting? The Holy Spirit. Because it's all about Him. If you start taking yourself away from the situation for just a second and let God work through you, it may only take 5 minutes, it could take an hour, you don't know how long it's going to take, but if you allow God to work through you, some amazing stories are going to come out of your lives. I want to hear about them, and I want you to preach about them. But you've got to allow God to work through your life. We don't create conviction. We look for it. That's the job that we're in as Christians. And so I want to end just with a question, because I know that there are still people who are not convinced. They're still maybe worried about the type of person they are. They're just not strong enough. They're not confident enough. I want to put out this request to you. Even if you have been an Adventist for 20, 30, 50 years, or if you have not been baptized, it doesn't matter where you are on that spectrum, I want you to first get on your knees and pray and ask God to reveal something to you. But if you feel convicted that you need to learn more about this thing here, because this is where it all comes from, then please come to Yoshi or myself or anyone here you believe is a spiritual leader in your life and ask for Bible studies and ask to grow in your spiritual walk. Because I guarantee you, and this is not a salesman talking, but it may sound like one, but I guarantee you, if you start doing these things, you will start to see God work in your life more. Because sometimes we don't allow God to work because we're too busy in our everyday life trying to survive. But God, He's waiting. Doesn't matter if you've been an Adventist for 50 years or if you're just coming to church now. Pray and ask God to convict you of where you should be. And if you believe that that means learning more about this, please come to Yoshi or myself or someone you believe who is a leader of the church and ask, because we are so willing to share this book with you. When it comes to evangelism, it's very simple. It's for everyone who believes. God can use anybody. And that pressure is taken off your shoulders because you're not the one who converts. It's all about Him. God bless you all.